Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my dog psychology radio show. My name is Dale McCluskey. I'd like to welcome you. On today's show, I'm going to be discussing why it is that the dog training world is in such a mess. Before I go there, I just want to qualify, what I'm talking about, just so people understand that. Because I've had this happen before, trying to kind of do two things at the same time to help people. Because ultimately, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help dog owners overcome their behavior issues and problems. On the other side of things, I'm also a big picture guy. I really believe that if you understand the real problem when it comes to training, and I do, there's an obligation to show that because, what I show and what my opinion is here is that dogs are in our lives for a reason. They're here to show us something more. And I'm going to get into that on these shows and show exactly or, have a discussion about that. To show that when it comes to nature, there's really no accidents and coincidences in the relationship that we share with dogs. It's an opportunity. I mean, it really is. It's an opportunity to really see beyond ourselves, to see something more and something more powerful. And so, when I'm talking about this issue of why people struggle or even this ideology that is so destructive, it's really, summing up, it's a missed opportunity. I mean, how I see things, even though what I have to tell people can be very difficult truth, it can really challenge the mainstream thinking. It really can, and it's going to. It's a stumbling stone for just about every dog trainer out there because, when I talk about the real problem, and why it is that so many dogs are being destroyed, it forces a trade-off. I mean, there's no way around it. I'm going to talk about that on today's show, what this trade-off is, but it sets it up. So it really, people don't want to make it. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, and it's really, there's no wiggle room here at a certain level. And we'll discuss that, but again, getting back to this thing about an opportunity, it really is. It's an opportunity to see more and to experience a much deeper connection with your dog than what you have now. Because a lot of times what it is, I believe that people, because how they invest emotionally in their dogs, when you talk about even the word obedience, it can really reference different imagery. People will fear losing what they have. Many people will think somehow it breaks the spirit and drive of the dog, and we'll talk about that on these shows as well. It does not do that. It's just very similar to parenting. It really is. And how that relational connection, how that is happens is very similar. So, there's extremes with everything. I mean, there can be, you look at the parenting styles, you look at the authoritarian, I mean, which is the over the top, which this system isn't about that. And, and even though right now the problem is you look at the parenting styles as more of the permissive, that's the real problem. And, and again, I want to be careful to say that just because I use that as the example doesn't mean that necessarily that people are permissive parents just because they struggle with their dogs. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm using as an example show how there's a lot of similarities with how it plays out with the end result, basically, with the issue. The real issue doesn't get fixed. So ultimately, it doesn't end well for the dogs involved in this way of thinking, and it doesn't end well for the people. I mean, ultimately, the people who are struggling with behavior issues and they feel like they're spinning their wheels, they're very frustrated, and I understand that. So here, getting back to the issue here in terms of, what is this about, Well, it's about ultimately helping people, but at the same time, you know, really, I believe that we really can't get the real issue fixed, and even in a big picture way, with all the amount of dogs being destroyed, until we face off on the truth. Because the thing that people have to understand here, the truth isn't going anywhere. Okay, this issue about why things have become to this level, why the dog training world is in such a mess, it's because of this culture of thinking that's been set up. And again, this issue of buyers and sellers, why it's very popular and becoming more of a problem. But like anything, even when you're struggling to overcome behavior issues with your dog, there will always be clues, okay? There's always relational clues. Even if it's in the human world or a dog world, if you're dealing with, say, the very selfish, self-centered, say, narcissistic person, they'll go through the motions. Okay, they will, you know, they'll mimic emotion. They'll do certain things to make you believe that they care for you, but in reality, they don't. Okay, they have no empathy. Okay, so and I'll talk about the parallels here with, in terms of how dogs connect, because it's very interesting how there's some similarities here with how this all kind of plays out. But ultimately, with, say, dealing with a narcissistic person in the human world, it doesn't end well, because even for the person, because in the end, they may have invested, say, a year into a relationship where they're trying to change the person, or they're in denial, and they deep down, ultimately, they know something's wrong. They have, because you have to understand something, you know, when people, say, even narcissistic people, they you can mimic emotion, you mimic certain things, but it's a counterfeit. So, you know, sooner or later, you can't hold it together. I mean, people are lying and stuff. It's all because how the universe is designed. I tell people that everything will always reveal truth. It will reveal itself because of just how things are, how it's created. So ultimately, in the end, it all comes out, okay? It may take a while, and just like this issue in the dog training world, it's all going to come out. That's the thing people have to understand. Where you're standing right now, even though I'll be standing on a side of things here where I'm even exposing, you know, balance training is a problem. So I'm in opposition to just about everybody, okay, because of the culture of thinking. So, but I'm okay with that because I'm not even upset about it. I've come to peace with it because I'm not looking for identity that way. I'm not looking for fulfillment that way. I don't need... I don't need 1,000 likes on my Facebook page or 10,000, you know, subscribers on my YouTube channel to feel good about myself. Okay, I feel good about myself because I understand what the truth is. And that's not even an arrogant thing. So this system is about the few, not the many, because the many right now are totally deceived. And that's going to continue on so long as people refuse to look at what the real issue is. That's just how it's going to be. And so I'll just continue to move forward and continue to talk about this issue until the moment that more people start to get it. Because ultimately, the more people that get it, you're going to have happier dogs, okay? You're going to have dogs that are going to be fixed, even aggressive. So, and you're going to have happy people because you're going to be in right relationship, and you're going to see more. It's going to be a deeper connection. So it's all good stuff, but it's going to seem very negative when I'm talking about this because of how people are thinking. But understand something. It's not Dale McCluskey that is saying this. I'm just pointing towards nature. I'm just showing it, saying this is what it is. And this is why it amazes me, and this shows you how twisted up this ideology is, and people are suffering from a type of identity crisis through it. You know, when people go into my, you know, into my YouTube channel, and you know, and they make these comments about, you know, it's a better way to train a dog through learning theory and using treats and all this other, and they make comments that come off as though I'm the only one that knows there's a problem or something. Okay, this is the thing that kills me, that these behavioralists, these people, will act as though you know, I'm the only person that, you know, is showing me. And now, don't get me wrong, I believe I'm probably the only person that's showing it at this level. I'm actually pinning this issue down and going deeper and talking about the type of motives that underpin response and the scripting problem. So I'm getting right into the details of it. Whereas there's other trainers, and there's many of them, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's many trainers out there that know there's a problem, okay? They actually do. And they see the same, they have the same people coming to them as I do. So they know there's a problem with treats and with using clickers and with this idea about treating training as a learning-based exercise. They know that. But however, many of them are still incorporating, not really identifying the issue, nailing it down, because they're still using the learning-based roadmap at some level. But I want to, and this is what I'm going to talk about in today's show, we talk about why it is that the dog training world is in such a mess. Well, basically, it's because the real issue isn't yet being identified. Okay, so once it is, then what you're going to find out is this saying that there's more than one way to train a dog, that's built on a false narrative. Okay, that's not actually a accurate statement. Okay, that's based on how these dynamics play out, okay, with dogs and with appearances and with people making assumptions on their interpretive script on a dog's state of mind at the physical level, which oftentimes is totally upside down. Okay, the dog is continuing to devalue the people. Okay, people are not stepping back far enough to identify the real issue here and look through the relational lens to say, okay, what's the problem? Why is this not working out for so many people, but it's still working out for others? And this is part of the issue. I mean, a lot of dog trainers are seeking to be credentialed, okay, through this science of dog training, okay, because a lot of these people, you have to understand, a lot of these people are promoting this ideology, this learning-based ideology. They're highly educated, okay? That's a problem, okay, because it looks like, you know, when you look at someone's education level and they have some of these people doctorate degrees who are promoting this, guys like Ian Dunbar. But lately, if you go in and watch some of Ian Dunbar's videos, you'll see, and I have a video out there, and I encourage you to go watch it. It's a conversation between Ian Dunbar and John McGuigan from Glasgow over in the United Kingdom. And in the it's almost funny in a way. If you watch the video and pay attention to John McGuigan's reaction, because John McGuigan is really promoting this kind of what they refer to as a pure positive way of training, where it's kind of like they take physical force and try to define it or as something really bad. You know, they have their own kind of ideological subscript on what physical force is, what it means to them, okay? But, you can tell that McGuigan doesn't expect Ian Dunbar to respond, because Ian Dunbar is actually, and he's been talking about lately, that there is actually a problem with how learning theory is being promoted through using treats and et cetera, where this kind of over-the-top, pure positive approach is a problem. He sees it. However, when he's talking about this in the video, it's interesting because you see John McGuigan taken aback. Like, he kind of almost flinches a little bit, like he expected Ian Dunbar to kind of come into agreement with him. And so he's kind of taken aback a little bit. You can see his expression. And I thought that was kind of funny. Interesting. Because, yeah, that's the truth. I mean, there's a problem. But the problem here is Ian Dunbar, he's invested everything, okay, into this. He's written books. He's put his whole career into this. He's done something. He's elevated himself. He's found his identity in this ideology. So, therefore, he's only going to go so far, or he can only go so far, because he's already, you know, kind of finished, I guess you would call it, unless he has a true epiphany and then really comes right out, shakes loose from this. But if he did that, you can imagine. This is what I'm going to talk about too in today's show, just the why it is that, you know, when you look at the people who have invested at a certain level in this ideology and promoted this false narrative at this level and taken, you know, physical force and the dominance issue and totally misrepresented it. This, and it's being used as a way to sell and promote this ideology, right? There's no way out. Okay, there's no actually backtracking without completely, you know, creating some sort of a totally embarrassing situation for them. I mean, because everything would be totally imploded. Because that's basically what it is anyway. It totally implodes. What I show, I talk about learning theory, and I show the tenet, okay, which is flawed, that they base their interpretive script on a dog's state of mind based on their scripting through using treats and clickers. But the real problem is not looking at the motives that underpin response. Okay, they're not looking at dogs as relational beings and how their decision-making process is influenced that way at all. In fact, this group is very much anti-dominance. They have this type of ideological mission statement, so to speak, where they're totally trying to promote this as some sort of a way around bringing dogs under leadership. But it's totally deceptive. It's a twisted mess. And they just keep going on and on and on. But the problem here is it never ends. I mean, that's the problem. But getting back to Dunbar, you know, or coming out of this, there's no way out. And I talk about imploding it. What I show is that if the core tenet is flawed, then that's it. I mean, there's no other discussion that you know, I mean, that's it. I mean, I show that there's a problem. So if they're basing their interpretive script or how they approach the relationship within this flawed concept of a dog's decision-making process, and it's totally upside down, then you got a serious problem. But if you look at what I'm saying and showing, it's all going to make sense. Anyone that's at least a bit objective and applies some critical thinking will see it. Because what I show here, and this I think people understand, it's all totally out in the open. It's totally transparent. Even my videos, if you go into my YouTube channel and you watch some of my videos where I'm taking in dogs from the ground up, okay, I show the whole video process of very aggressive dogs and the rehab process from the ground up, and so you'll see it. But you go into any of these other, those who promote learning theory the way that I'm explaining it, you're not going to see that, okay? You're not going to see it fully out into the light. You'll see lots of PowerPoint presentations. You'll see dogs, okay? But they're set up like infomercials. You're not seeing dogs. You're not seeing this ideology out in the open working the way that they're describing. Okay, you're seeing already balanced dogs. And some of the dynamics involved, and I'll talk about that, because there are some twists and turns here. This is why it's very difficult for people to figure this stuff out. There's some twists and turns here when you see certain concepts or you apply learning theory and you have a good result. But it's not because of learning theory. That's the thing people have to understand. It's about the person. Therefore, when people are trying to figure this mess out and trying to make sense of it, they have tunnel vision. Okay, they're not stepping back and looking at dogs at this relational level and looking at the person, the personality type of the person. Okay, this is the problem. There's no drawing back. They're not shaking loose from this ideology. They're totally sold out to it. And so, but again, and there's another issue that you know, kind of intertwines all this, and we'll talk about that in some future shows, which is really going to challenge people. It's the issue of idolatry, and I'm going to talk about idolatry, this false narrative, because it's about self-love here. This is not about this whole idea about this being positive reward-based and love-based and all this stuff. It absolutely isn't about meeting the needs of another. It's not love. It's self-love. It's not true love, okay? And we'll talk about what is love. Yeah, but it's absent of discipline, but absent of those things that are able to reconcile this connection to nature. I mean, it's because dogs, again, this is what really creates a scenario for people is people assume that they can have their cake and eat it too, that you can you know, you can do training on one side, you kind of make a distinction between training and you can live life on the other side and continue to interact the way that you did with your dog, and things are going to change. Well, that's not the case. When I help people, I show them that, you know, for dogs, it's life, okay? Dogs are, training is life. It's not, there's no separation. It's about changing how the person thinks. Change comes in and through the person, the relation. That's the key point here to understand. So, but the other issue here too, talk about why the dog training world is in such a mess. And I'm going to talk about, you know, one of the things you can look at that will kind of, you know, reflect that. It's like a mirror image of the mess that's happening. If you look at the service dog training industry, and you take a snapshot of it and look at the issues that's happening right now, you're going to see it playing out right now. It's, in fact, it's been in the media about all the fraud. Everybody wants to take their dogs with them everywhere. It's become, again, I use this word idolatry, but yeah, it's become, it's not about dogs helping in a way that represents right relationship, okay? Or these dogs are being role changed, because what's happening is many of these dogs are not actually role changed dogs. These dogs, the people and dogs are not in right relationship at all. Even these so-called certified service dogs, many of them don't meet the standard. And I'm talking about standard in terms of what actually influences a level of focus, which is going to allow the dogs to perform the way that they should. But an example of this, if you go and look at a news article, an incident that happened back actually in Clarksville, Tennessee, where there's a young boy that was killed by a so-called service dog out on Fort Campbell. You'll see, and I show that, you'll see that that's an example of what is happening, okay? And what happened was the dog was trained. I went and researched. I looked at the type of training. It's based on this learning-based ideology, okay? And what happens, the dog, which was a shepherd, heard some sounds, got out in the backyard, and ended up killing the young boy that was a neighbor, a young boy that was out in the backyard playing, ended up killing. And the trainer, after this happened, the trainer made a statement of, well, the dog just was checking out the noise, wanted to stop the noise, had teeth. Just ridiculous. I mean, very almost insulting how they responded to this. Where I'm looking at this saying, this dog was in role changed. I mean, this was just, dogs just don't attack for no, unless they're holding a level of power. Okay, unless they're holding power. If they're role changed and they're in a follower script, they're not going to do that. Okay, they're not going to do that. This dog, and so, but the deception here is the type of connection that happens through this learning-based narrative, okay? And what it is, it's a possessive state. So you'll get the dog attached to the person, and this dog was to help the officer with PTSD. And I'll talk about this on some of these radio shows. I'm going to talk about this issue of connection and the problems related to this with how this is being defined. But this dog was never role changed. It was in a possessive state. So, but the problem here is that people can get away with this. Okay, people can get away with this. Trainers can shake this off and move forward because of the dynamics in play, because of how this connection happens. It's just like the permissive parent that can, you know, blame everybody except their parenting skills. And little Johnny comes home because they're dealing with real world stuff, and suddenly they're in conflict with authority, and the police ends up bringing little Johnny home because he was out in the park drinking, and he's drunk, he's 14 years old, and then, you know, what's the response of the permissive parent, right? It's somebody else's fault. It's the police or it's whoever. But it wasn't the fact that, you know, that parent was playing the friend and not the parent all along. Now, don't get me wrong. There could be, you know, there's good parents out there that no matter what you do, you end up, you know, with real struggles and you're wondering what's going on. But there's causation here. I mean, you look at permissive parenting and you look at how that's risen up. I mean, that's become very, it's the culture of this friend type of relationship with your children, and people are just, it's all about how people feel right now. It's all about feelings. This is, you can trace it right back at the source. It comes from the person. And just like here, when it comes to behavior, okay, dog owners can shove it off, right, because of the dynamics that play up. I show the causation. It is the dog owner. The dog owner is responsible. They're not fulfilling. They're not coming into the right relationship, and they're not fulfilling the role defined through nature and through the pack relationship. Dogs are relational beings. So I show the causation. But don't get me wrong, it's very difficult for dog owners because, because how they feel and then, what they want, and then there's all these other feelings all attached to it. It does make it very difficult to overcome for them to come in the right relationship sometimes because there's bad information. But anyway, I just want to offer up, I'm going to continue this show. This will be kind of like a part one, I guess. Why the dog training world is in such a mess. I'm not going to have time to get into too much else, but I do want to mention some things that are available. If you're looking for help with your dog, just understand something. I'm here to help you with your issues. And how I approach is, I'm not here, even though I'm talking about some really difficult things in these shows, a lot of this is directed at a lot of these behaviorists that really don't care. They're never coming back. But I'm putting the information out so people can look at it and they can make a decision. When I'm helping people, I'm not here, I don't make people feel badly. I'm not here to, when people come to me for help, they're ready, okay? They're already at the end of their thinking. And so it's about encouraging people. So, people come to me, I'm not making people feel badly or criticizing. I'm right away, I'm getting into helping them. That's the thing. So I want people to understand as I'm doing these shows, people I help are good people. And even the people, I'm not saying other people are bad people, a lot of people are just suffering from some sort of identity crisis because they're trying to reconcile their feelings and how this plays out. So, if you need help with your dog, I'm here to help you and encourage people. So that's what it's about. It's about helping people, encouraging people. But at the same time here, I'm going to put out some hard truth for people because I show what the real problem is. It's approaching training as a learning-based exercise instead of what it really is, the relational changing process. And the dynamics in play here can make it extremely difficult. Because here's the thing, if people that have doctorate degrees, if they're deceived, okay, if they have their life, so education, your level of education is not some sort of, doesn't vaccinate you from these dynamics. Because it's relational, it's about the relationship. And so things that you see on the surface or appearances will get people into a lot of trouble very fast. And that's what makes, for me, that's what makes it nature really amazing. And because there's some incredible things happening. And, it makes you, I guess, appreciate the dogs even more. So it's, in the end, it's all good things happening. But there's some really difficult stuff here, and where we are right now in society, it does make it difficult. But if you need help with your dog, I'm here to help you. So if you live in Florida, I can get to you one-on-one training. If you're outside Florida, I have a Skype option, so you can go and check out that option where I can speak to you. Skype means I can either Skype you on your computer, or I have the Skype where I can actually call your phone number, so it doesn't matter. So long as you have a telephone, the Skype option can help you. So I would just encourage you to check out my options, training options, because ultimately, if you want real help, real answers with your dog, this system is for you, and it definitely will, even if you're dealing with a very serious behavior problem such as aggression, or even if you failed in the past using other systems, this system is just like starting all over again in a good way. It's like a brand new day. It's like forgetting the past, moving forward to a better future. So anyway, I just encourage you to check out my options on my website. I've got lots of free videos. You can look at those as well. And I encourage you to tune into my next show where I'll be continuing the discussion on the dog training world. So thanks for watching.